Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
It's Christmas. Merry Christmas. Say Merry Christmas to your neighbor. Yeah, it's that season. It's that season. Merry Christmas. We're in a world that is going a bit chaotic with everything that's going around. But you know what? There's also a lot of questions being asked by people. Good questions. But people that are seeking, they're seeking a something or a someone, a God, small letter G, to fulfill needs. It is that season in life. A season where people are asking, is there really a God? What is all the celebration about? People are asking this question, is God really with me? Is he with me? Does he actually see me? Does this God even care? I actually asked one of these questions this week. I was sitting upstairs busy praying, and I said to God, as you know, I love to be vulnerable and real. You know, pastors don't have it all together. If you thought that we do have it all together, I'm sorry to pop that bubble. Merry Christmas. I love you. But I asked the question, God, I know you there. It's not even a head thing. It's a heart thing. I know you there. But right now, with everything that's going on, I just need you to show me your face. I need you to reveal yourself to me. And by the end of that day, I stood in awe as I got what I would call three kisses from heaven. Three ridiculous breakthroughs. Things that I've been asking and praying about just happened like that. Where I thought I was going to have resistance, all of a sudden, it had happened. This is the God that we serve. So these questions are valuable. They're valuable questions. And right across the globe, as you know, we're celebrating something. There's something that shifts annually. Trees go up like this, and twinkle, twinkle lights come up, and gifts are bought, and glitter is spread, and food is prepared, and more food is prepared. All the weight you lost leading up to Christmas, you find during Christmas somehow. You find it again. It just appears. Do you realize that they're saying that about $1 trillion is spent globally over the Christmas season on food? Wait for it. $28 billion in Australia. It's a lot of money. Why? Why do we spend food? Why do we do this? Because 2,000 years ago, a promise came into fulfillment. A promise that is celebrated across the globe. A season that some really truly understand, but others are just caught up in this hype of buying and eating and drinking. And it's known as the Christmas season. Some people call it the silly season. Christmas season. But here's my question to you as the church. What does Christmas, the Christmas season, what does it really mean? Again, we all know, but do we know? We know here it's all about a baby born in a stable involving a virgin. It's about shepherds who leave their fields. It's about straw and hay. It's about being in a stable. It's about even some manure because it's stinky in the stable. It's about wise men that come. We know it all. But is it heart knowledge? You see, because when it's heart knowledge, because we know, it actually... it should actually influence our lives. It shouldn't just get us into the hype of the season, but we should become so infatuated in the awe and the beauty of something or may I say someone that changes the course of history for mankind. We should get so infatuated with this, so in awe and so it's an amazing season. And we're so busy, we get so rushed, running from here to there, to this, to that. We've got this dinner, that dinner, that's going to happen. I know, I was talking about it between the services. So right now, across Pneuma, we're starting a new season, a new message for this season. We're calling it Emmanuel, God with us. Four simple words. Emmanuel, God with us. You see, we see it a lot at the Christmas season. We hear about it at the Christmas season. We sing carols about it at the Christmas season. It's written on Christmas cards and some shop windows and at the Christmas season. But it's not meant to only be part of the Christmas season. So over the next 3 weekends where I share messages, I'm going to try with the help of Holy Spirit to bring a little bit of revelation, a little bit of enlightenment, but a little bit of knowledge. I said to Nick this weekend as I was preparing, I would say, you know what, Nick, I don't just want to preach another Christmas message. Just another, we know the Christmas story. I want it to be here, that it grips our heart, that it changes us. So I've asked Holy Spirit to help me. So are you ready? Let it change your life, that Christmas festivities never, never can be the same again. Never. That's my heart. So let's pray, if you're ready for this. Father, we thank you for this season. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here. Holy Spirit, help us to get this revelation. May it go from the heart, from the head to the heart, the heart to the head, the head to the heart, the heart to the head. And may our lives be impacted, that it can never, never be the same again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Emmanuel, God with us. These words are found in Scripture. Isaiah, if you've got your Bibles, Isaiah 7:14, I'm reading from the NIV. It reads as follows, therefore the Lord himself, underline those words, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Ring, put a ring around that word, sign. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Now just off the record, Emmanuel is spelled with an I. Somebody asked me between services, why is some Emmanuels spelled with an E? The only reason is in Hebrew it's with an I, but as the English people, we translate it with an E. Nothing more significant than just that. Simples. Okay? Emmanuel. This scripture that we have here, what is it for us? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. What is that? Let me answer that. A promise. It's a promise of a sign. A promise given by the Lord himself. Please note, though, this promise happened 700 years before the choir of angels. This promise happened 700 years before the shepherds left their fields. Before the wise men followed a star, before Mary held the infant Christ child, which was born in a stable, 700 years. God, out of his goodness, gives to his people a promise that came in the darkest of times on planet Earth, a promise that was whispered through a prophet into a fearing situation. A promise given to a man, actually a king, who was rebellious, he was lost, he was confused, and he was about to make one of the most worst decisions ever. It is a promise that was given then that still stands and is speaking powerfully to us today. A promise. And I have titled this message for all the note takers, Emmanuel, the Promise. Because today we are talking about the promise. The context of this promise, it is that it was delivered by Isaiah. Isaiah is one of God's prophets. Isaiah is sent to King Ahaz. King Ahaz is the king of Judah. But he is a man with a divided heart. He is a man where confusion is surrounding him. He is a man where he's very uncertain. very indecisive. Enemies are rising up on his left and his right and all around him. And as the enemies are rising up, guess what? Fear is rising up in King Ahaz, his heart. King Ahaz actually considers alliances with pagan nations a big no-no. You see, King Ahaz is panicking instead of trusting. King Ahaz is feeling like he is losing control. And this brings about a moment of national instability and possible spiritual compromise. Sounds very similar to where we are in our own country and in the globe. You see, Ahaz is seeking answers everywhere except where he should. With Yahweh, with the Lord Almighty. But God. Everybody say, but God. But God comes to him saying something which is not the norm. Isaiah 7, 10, 11, 10 to 11 says, again the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Again. Underline that word, again. People, God continuously speaks to mankind. Again and again and again. He never gives up. Right here, we're reading this back in the Old Testament. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. It gives the idea that he has already spoken to him and Ahaz is not listening. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. And he says this, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. Verse 11 is the only occasion where God basically commands a person to ask for a sign. The only place. Other places throughout the Bible, God offers a confirming sign, or he patiently grants a requested confirmation, like with Gideon in Judges 6. But here, God sort of like has this unusual generosity towards Ahaz, and he says, ask me for a sign. Yet Ahaz, in verse 12, refuses. But Ahaz, it says, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Sounds very noble, doesn't it? Sounds actually quite holy. The noble, the right thing to do, right? Not. Wrong. Wrong, you see. Ahaz's response right there, or reaction, is more rebellion. It's more like a false humility. Because Ahaz was not avoiding testing God. He's avoiding trusting God. Ahaz had already chosen a different savior, small letter S. How do I know this? If you read in 2 Kings 16, it shows Ahaz pursuing Assyria as his security plan, as his God, small letter G, as his solution, as his provider of security. A God where he, Ahaz, could control the outcome. Sound familiar? You see, fear made control feel safer than faith. A strategy that the enemy still uses today. Fear made control feel safer than faith. An alliance with Assyria, a pagan nation, looked tangible and immediate. But trusting God meant waiting. Trusting God meant risking reputation. Trusting God meant leading without visible guarantee. Trusting God. Fear says, I cannot risk obedience because then I cannot control outcomes. Ahaz feared the cost of obedience. The word we've had all year. Obedience. He feared the cost. Folks, how many times don't we fear the cost of obedience? Ahaz, I think he would have known, he knew that God would tell him, hey, Ahaz, stand firm. Or he would have said, God would have maybe said to him, hey, Ahaz, don't go into alliance with Assyria. No. Renounce the alliance. Maybe God would have said to Ahaz, oh, rely on me alone. But Ahaz wanted control. So you see what I'm saying here? What seems like humility is actually spiritual deflection. But God. Say, but God. But God, even with all this going on in Ahaz's heart, in the heart of the king, in verses 13 to 14, Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David. Whoa, stop right there. Hear now, you house of David. I thought we were talking about King Ahaz. This is important to note. This is bigger than Ahaz the individual. The prophet is not speaking to the little frightened man anymore. He's talking to the house of David. He's talking to the Davidic dynasty, to God's covenant line. He's aiming this prophecy at the whole royal line, which includes you and I. He says, hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, verse 14, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Who's he speaking to? The house of David. He's not speaking just to Isaiah. Ahaz. He's speaking to the house of David. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Whoa! This is huge. This is humongous. God, who is all-knowing, he knows everything. He knows the heart. He knows what Ahaz is trying to do. He knows this, but yet he still decides to give the promise of Emmanuel, God with us. You see, God's faithfulness overrides human faithlessness. He remains faithful. And we see this later in 2 Timothy 2:13. Paul says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He remains faithful. God intervenes. God's greatest intervention happens right there. This changes the course of humanity history. This changes the course. It's not about more power. It's not about more influence. It's not about more control. It's not about a stronger empire or more businesses. It's a promise of presence. Emmanuel, God with us, speaks one word, presence. This is why his presence is our priority. Because without his presence, it's just another gathering. Without his presence, it's just another sing-along. No. Our lives need to be changed. And the way our lives can be changed, not here. God with us. Can I be real? Three people say yes. People at the back, can I be real? Yeah, I see the heads nodding. Thanks, Adam. You gave me permission to be real. Sadly, we're not that much different to Ahaz. We want guarantees. We want the problem fixed now. We want the future certain now. We want the pressure gone now. Now. We cannot wait. So we take things into our own hands now. We reach for our modern day Assyria, for the money and for savings and for credit lines and for plans and for influence. We reach for control. We bring about manipulation. But the reality, church, that you need to hear today is God's promise then, is God's promise now. It has not changed. Emmanuel, God with us. It has not changed. You see, the sign that God gave Ahaz wasn't an escape plan. Escape plans are temporary. Assyrias are temporary, people. God's sign was saying, my presence is your anchor. My presence is your stability. You see, presence, his presence is permanent. I will never leave you nor forsake you. His presence is permanent. Today, somebody needs to hear this. Somebody in this, I felt this in the first service. I'm sensing this now in the second service. I sensed this as I was preparing. You need to hear this, someone. God's presence is your stability, not your bank account. You want that relationship fixed? Seek his presence. You want that debt paid? Seek his presence. He does not leave you, nor does he forsake you. He is Emmanuel, God with us. My point is this. Emmanuel is not just a name. It's not just a name. We sing about it, but it's not just a name. It's actually the central revelation of Scripture. The central, what do you mean? God with us talks about what? The heart of the Father. From Genesis all the way through to Revelation. Look at this. Eden, God was walking with humans. Exodus, God was tabernacling with Israel. Then there was the prophets, which we just read about. God promising presence. Then it gets to the Gospels, Jesus' birth, God dwelling in the flesh. Jesus walking on the earth. Then it gets to Pentecost, and it's the Holy Spirit. He doesn't leave us, nor does he forsake us. He sends his Spirit. And then we get to Revelation, which we still to get to. And guess what happens there? God dwelling among his people forever. Forever. I am goosebumps. I am sensing the presence of God right now. Maybe you're sitting here. Maybe you're sitting here and you're wondering, is this God thing really real? No condemnation. But let me show you how real this is. Isaiah the prophet prophesies 700 years later in the New Testament, Matthew comes about and tells us about the birth of Jesus. Matthew 1 verse 22 to 23 says, this happened so that what the Lord spoke through his prophet would come true. Then he quotes the Isaiah scripture that we are just reading. A virgin will be pregnant. She will give birth to a son. Just another translation. And he will be known as Emmanuel, which means in Hebrew, God became one of us. This prophecy in Isaiah was fulfilled by Jesus' birth, which we are celebrating every Christmas. Emmanuel. Hebrew. Emmanuel. With us dot God. Boom. How powerful. With us. Full stop. God. With us. God. God with us is not God near us. God with us is not God helping us from a distance. God with us is not sending us money via the post because he can't be around. God with us is not a message from heaven. God with us is heaven in person, in our space and our place. God with us is God standing in your real world and saying, I am here with you. You won't face this alone. And I am more than enough. This is a word for 2026. He is with you. And you will not be facing 2026 alone. He is with you. You're getting the revelation today. You're getting the revelation today. I am with you. I am with you. You won't face this alone. And you know what? This message is not just for Christmas seasons. The whole story of Scripture is the story of God who refuses. He refuses to be distant, but to be God with us. Go back to the previous slide. That is our evidence. That is our evidence. That is the whole story of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. He refuses to be distant. It's in his character. He wants to. He wants to. Eden, Exodus, Prophets, Gospel, Pentecost, Revelation. He wants to be. The promise of Emmanuel speaks to your today. The team can join me. Are you overwhelmed? Are you feeling overwhelmed? Emmanuel, God is with you. Are you unsure? Unsure about 2026? Unsure about a relationship? And unsure about the future? Emmanuel, God is with you. You may be sitting here, young lady, you're feeling unworthy. It stops right now. What's been spoken over you, I declare null and void. What's been spoken over you by man, I declare null and void. Because Emmanuel, God is with you. You feel your faith is weak? Not anymore. Because Emmanuel, God is with you. When I stand here on Christmas Eve and declare that 2026 will be your best year yet, I'm not just saying that because it sounds nice. I'm saying that because I know Emmanuel, God is with you. And I declare right now, if you have any doubt in your mind that 2026 is going to be a good year, I declare it gone in Jesus' name. Because in my Emmanuel, the God that I believe in, says to me, says to you, he is with you. So whatever you're carrying, wherever you are, wherever you find yourself, he is saying, I will be with you. If you walked in here today and you are carrying fear or pressure, uncertainty, you're carrying disappointment or heartache, loss, it's been a big year. It's been a big year. Grief, anger. Maybe you're angry. Angry at him because you feel he's deserted you. Emmanuel, he is with you. Resentment, pain, carrying sickness or disease. Whatever it is, hear the promise of the Lord over your life today. Emmanuel with us, dot God. Not when you're feeling strong. Not when you get it all right. No. Now, in the middle of it. January, in the middle of it. February, when these lights have been packed away, when the Christmas season has ceased. No. Emmanuel, God remains with you. He remains with you wherever you go. And if God is with you, then what you face, that thing that's in front of you, guess what? You'll get through that as well, because he who is with you is Almighty. He who is with you is the Lord of hosts, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who speaks and it happens, the one who rules over the nations, who never tires, he never sleeps. Emmanuel, he is the only one who can part the seas. He is the only one who can topple idols. He is the only one in his name that dead can be raised back to life. He is the only one that can break the power of sin. Emmanuel is greater. He is mightier. He is more powerful. He is holy. He is unchanging. He is faithful. He is victorious than whatever is against you. He's not merely stronger than your opposition. He is sovereign over it. He's not mightier than the storm. He is the one who says, peace, be still. And it all settles. The waves go down. The wind stops. It's not what I'm making up, folks. It's in our Bible. It's in the Word of God. Folks, hear me today. He's not just able to help. Able is somebody who may think about it. Able is somebody who may be somewhere that you could maybe ask for help. No, no, no. He's not able to help. He is present to hold you. He is present to guide you. He is present to lead you, to love you unconditionally, not only for now, but for all eternity. The promise of Emmanuel, God is with you, is not nostalgia. It is the revelation of why we celebrate Christmas. You see, the prophecy came before the birth. We all celebrate the birth, but we've got to remember there was a promise. The promise was Emmanuel, God with us, or Emmanuel with us, full stop, God. God Almighty. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to sense His amazing presence. God with Emmanuel. Let it sink into your spirit. It's not nostalgia. It's the revelation of why we celebrate Christmas. Thing. You walk in here with fear. You walked in here with disappointment. You walked in here feeling distracted, overwhelmed. Whatever you walked in, this name that we've just sung about is a powerful name. It's Emmanuel. God is with us. God is with us. God. All hands open. Father, in the name of Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we thank you for this word today. Father, thank you that you are not distant. You're not indifferent. You're not silent. You have come near. It's not you go into. No, 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 no. You have come near. And today, Father, as your family, as your sons and daughters, we receive this revelation of Emmanuel with us, God. It's not a concept. Father, we realize it's not a slogan. It's not a thought at Christmas time. It's your very heart, it's your very character on display. And today as a family, we declare you are the God who steps into our fear. Whew. You are the God who steps into our weakness. You are the God who steps into the unknown. You are the God who is waiting. And in all of this time, you remain. You don't leave, you remain. You're always with us. You go before us, you're with us. You're behind us, you're in us. You wherever we go, you go. Holy Spirit, make this real. Make this revelation real in us. Make this revelation stick to us. Teach us to stand firm in faith. Not because we feel strong, but because we know. Because we know you are with us. I speak to all the weary hearts today, Father. And I say to them, be strengthened in the name of Jesus. I speak to every anxious mind that is in this place and that's listening to this message. And I say, be still in the name of Jesus. I speak to the oppressed and I say, be comforted in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for this family and I say, let faith rise where fear has ruled. Let faith rise where fear has ruled. And for anybody, Lord, who's feeling far from you, felt far from you, I say, let heaven's announcement always be reminded by Holy Spirit, God has come near in Jesus' name. Anchor us. Put your hand on your heart. Anchor us, Lord. Anchor us in your presence. May we seek nothing but your presence. And today I pray that you will mark us, mark our hearts, mark our minds, mark our lives with your presence. And send us out of this place as we walk out of those doors, Lord. Send us out as a people marked by your nearness. By your nearness. We pray all of this in the wonderful and glorious and mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmark.church. Thanks for listening.